Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. I hope you can quote these scriptures, these verses. If you can't, sort of work on them, because they're a blessing, real blessing. There's some profound truths found in these verses too. If you'll notice, Paul writing to the church at Ephesus said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I want us to bow in prayer. Lord, I want to thank you again for letting us live this day that we might serve you. Pray you'd forgive us of our sins, Lord, wherein we failed you and sinned against you this day. That you'd cleanse us, as we know that you promised you will do. And we're thankful for that truth. Now I pray that as we've come together tonight, that we've come together with a desire upon our hearts and minds to be edified, built up in the faith, to be admonished, things to be brought to our remembrance, that we might leave here tonight rejoicing in the great salvation that we have, both the saving of our soul and the saving of our lives. We're thankful for such a salvation. We're thankful that you clearly declare this in the Word of God. And I believe that all of us would acknowledge tonight with grateful hearts that we know that salvation is of the Lord. And that thrills our souls and blesses us. So now, Father, we pray for each one we've mentioned. We have a long list of names. There's a long list of those that we didn't mention. Some of these need you in a physical way. Some need you in a spiritual way. And we know that the reason that we make these requests and the reason that we mention these people that have bodily afflictions and then are not saved is because we know that you're the one that provides both the physical and the spiritual. It doesn't come from anywhere else. I know you use means. You've ordained those means. I'm thankful for that, but we recognize that you're the one that controls and brings about the means whereby for the end result to be the physical healing and even the saving of the soul. We acknowledge this and we know that you're pleased with it. We know that it honors and glorifies you. And we know that you rejoice to hear this come from the lips of your children, those that have been saved by the grace of God, to acknowledge that you are the great God of heaven. You are the one, the only one. There's none beside you. We know that you do all things well. And help us always to keep this up on our hearts and our minds. And help us, Lord, that we might constantly praise you. May we not only be a people that would come to you with our requests, but may we be a people that would come to you praising you because of your goodness and your mercy and your love. Now, Lord, give us the understanding, the knowledge that we need. Help us to receive what you have for us. We know that even in these thoughts that you'll have different things for different individuals that's here, but yet, Lord, it'll all be for your honor and glory and praise. And I would that you'd be pleased to bless us in a mighty way. In Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen. You'll never exhaust the truths found in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. My subject tonight is taken from these two verses. And my subject is, "And that not of yourselves." And that not of yourselves. I believe there's times that God is really pleased with us. But I believe there's times that God's not pleased with His creatures. And I don't know of anything that would please God any more than for us to know and to tell Him that it is not of ourselves. Or that it is not of yourselves. He says here. Now what that does, it gives God the glory. It says that everything that we are and that we shall be is because of the working of Almighty God. I've not always understood as much of this as I do now. And I ain't all the way there yet, I'm confident. But I'm thankful for how far that God's brought me and what He's taught me and what He's done for me. And if there's anything in my heart that I know tonight in the thoughts from these two verses is, and that not of yourselves. I know that. And the reason I know it is because God, by the Holy Spirit, showed it to me and taught it to me. It's not something I'm just talking about or something I'm preaching about. It's something that is part of me. It is a conviction that God has given me. And you'll never be able in any way to shake me from this truth that God has revealed, and that not of yourselves. And anything you want to name, I know in the context what it's talking about. I know it's talking about grace and it's talking about faith, but anything you want to name, I'm going to tell you, and that not of yourselves. Anything you want to name, any subject you want to bring up, or anything you want to talk about that God is doing for you or He's going to do for you, I can tell you it's not of yourselves, but is of God. Through the years, and I think perhaps probably as much as anything else that probably put me into gear thinking about this, now I've always thought about it, and always since the Lord brought me the truth, and really believed it and really stuck with it, and I've tried to preach it. I've only tried to practice it, but I've tried to preach it too. Sometimes it's really hard to preach a truth and to put it into the words that it ought to be put in to where that it would glorify God. Because all of us, with the vocabulary that God has given us, many times it's hard for us to say what we really want to say. It's hard for us to say what we really mean. But I believe this is just as clear as it could be. I don't believe you can make it any clearer. He said, and that not of yourselves. You know what that means? That not of yourselves. It means it's not of you. It means it didn't originate with you. It means that you didn't bring it about. But it means that it originated with God, and God brought it about. And I think that what really, and I was leading up to this while I go to say it, I think really what brought me to really get these thoughts together that I got together years ago is that when the Lord, in His providence, moved me to Monticello, and I got involved with that camp. And it was under the authority of the church. It belonged to the church, under the authority of the church, and they would, in a sense, let people come in, and they had to be Baptist by name, and they would come in and use the camp, and I sat there many times and was grieved. When I heard them teach and when I heard them preach, I was grieved. And it's really bad to put yourself in a position to where seemingly you think your hands is tied and you can't do nothing about it. And that's really bad. And I would listen from time to time, and there would be those that would come in that would believe the truth and preach the truth, and they would practice the truth. And it always seemed like you looked forward with joy to them coming that week and hearing the Word of God taught and the Word of God preached. But then after that, another group had been there and you'd heard them once before, You were sort of grieved when you knew they were going to have to come. You say, oh yeah, that bunch coming. Because of what they would teach and what they would preach and how that they would put so much emphasis upon man and put very little upon God. And I know that God was displeased. And it's sad today when so many people think that they're doing such great things for God, and the whole time that they're doing it, God's displeased. The idea that, and there's, what you've got to understand is, God's ways are the true ways. His way of grace is the true way of grace. His way of salvation is the true way of salvation. His way of faith is the true way of salvation. But now let's look at the other way. Satan's way of grace is false. And Satan's way of salvation is false. And Satan's way of faith is false. It don't honor God. It honors man. It don't give glory to God. It gives glory to man. And it's sad, isn't it? And you know people and you love them. And what I say about, what I'm going to say tonight in this is not that I'm making fun of people or looking down upon them. I don't mean that at all. But I believe that we need to recognize and know that God has a way. But we also need to recognize and know that the devil has a way. And the religionists of our day are caught up in the devil's way. And these people, you know, we love and we like. And we don't like the false doctrine. We don't like not bringing glory to God. We don't like that. But it don't cause us to hate the people. It don't cause us not to have a compassion for the people or a concern for the people. It doesn't cause that. There's only one true way. There ain't a lot of ways. There's only one. But there's many false ways. I thought about Proverbs. Haven't used so much. And some people today just, you know, do your own thing, do what you think's right. Boy, you're in trouble if you do that. That is the philosophy of the world. But I think so much of Proverbs. There is a way that seemeth right unto man. It seemeth right. And you know, and they're convinced they're right. But the ends thereof is the ways of death. The reason of there is the ways of death is because of the false ways. And they're deceived and they're caught up in them. There is no such thing as part truth and part false. And this is how that many of the religionists of our day are proselyting and getting converts, is because that they get a glimpse of those that have the truth, and they go in there and they pull out a few things to mix in with their error. To deceive people and to entice people. I believe that Solomon said it best there in Proverbs about these religionists. He said that in Proverbs 14:12. But what you got to understand is, God didn't just one day come up with an idea of you know, well, I think this is the best way. We've looked at all of these. You know, like we have to do sometimes about some things in the world, concerning the world. God didn't just one day come up and said, well, I've looked at all this, now I think this is the best way. And I've decided this for me. No, God designed the true way in eternity. That's what He designed. If the true way was with God in eternity, and it was to be followed by man in time, but the way it was to be followed by man in time is under the influence of God the Holy Spirit. And where people get in trouble there is, and I've how many times have you heard me say this? I've been preaching here a long time. How many times have you heard me say this? They ain't no telling. And people always say, well, the Spirit led me. You better know whether or not it's the Holy Spirit.
And the way you know that it's the Holy Spirit is you try the spirits, and you try the spirits by the Word of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. And if you are inclined to do something, or leading, or being feel like you're being led to do something, and it's contrary to the Word of God, mark it down, it's not the Holy Spirit. But there's spirits that lead you down the wrong road. There's a multitude of people like that today. And you know, why is it that we don't like to acknowledge that? You know why it is? Because it may be your dad or your mom. It may be your uncle or your aunt. I said that right tonight. It may be your brother, or it may be your sister. It may be your niece, or it may be your nephew. And you don't want to think they're wrong. Well, they can be just as wrong as you can be wrong. And we need to acknowledge that there are people today that are not in the true way. And even though they name the name of Christ, they name the name of religion, and the name grace, and the name faith, and the name salvation, then it's not the Holy Spirit. Because of the subject
that I'm preaching.
Because of the subject. And the subject is, and that not of yourselves. If they got any inkling, any tinted, any way that it's of themselves, that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the one that through the Apostle Paul that penned these words and said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And anything contrary to that is not the Holy Spirit."
Sometimes you know, people think that when you preach the truth, when Baptists preach the truth, that they hate everybody. We don't hate people.
I don't hate homosexuals. I hate their sin. And I would be to God that God would just snatch them up and save them by His marvelous grace. They'd be saved. They'd be saved from that sin and from that lifestyle.
God designed the true way in eternity to be followed by men in time under the influence of God the Holy Spirit. Now Satan designed the false way after his fall to be followed by man after the fall and expulsion from the Garden of Eden. Man would follow the false way by the influence of seducing spirits.
And just turn in your Bible, get your concordance, look up. Look up seducing spirits. Look up the doctrine of devils. And make a study of that and see what the Word of God is talking about. It's talking about that there are seducing spirits that lead men and women and boys and girls in the religious world of our time in that which is false and that which is not true. I understand, don't you? A person that has been saved by the grace of God and has not been taught the truth to not understand some of these things, but I believe even that person wants to give God the glory and God the honor, and I believe that when the Word of God is taught to them, I believe the Holy Spirit will take that truth and He'll place it upon their hearts. And they'll come to receive it, and they'll come to know it as a truth of God's Word.
Both of these ways are seen in the children of Adam and Eve. And ever since that time, that's the way it's been. Look in Genesis 4, 1 through 9. Isn't it? Now I tell you, the only reason we know the difference is because God, the Holy Spirit, taught us. We didn't teach ourselves. That is, and that not of yourselves. And I tell you, we had really better. Somebody was talking to me about people in the church, and I was talking about, well, I said, well, now you know, I don't know whether I know much about the members of this church. I know a little. I've been around here a little. And I know a little, and I said, they're talking about, you know, this. And I said, yeah, there's some men in our church know the truth.
And I said, and there's some that's growing in it, and some's coming to it. And I said, there's some do it without thinking. That knew this truth
that we're talking about, and that not of yourselves, that knew this truth. Now look at Genesis 4, verse 1, down through verse 9, and these ways were from the Garden of Eden, and they still exist today. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of the flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance failed. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance falling? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? So God designed a way in eternity that it would not be of yourself. But that's what Cain tried to pull. That's exactly what Cain did. And God was not pleased, because God had no respect. And we say that I believe that Abel did that which God expected of him to do, which he had been instructed to do. Now, I've preached that, and you all know what that means. I've preached it to you more than once. It didn't mean that they were accepted because of what they did. It means that Abel did what God required. Or what God had instructed Adam and Eve to do, and they had instructed their children. That's what it means. And it means that Abel knew that it was not of himself, but it was as God had said, and as it pleased God. Cain, you know, tried to pull me up. And men still trying to do that. Even today. The way of Abel and Cain are two ways that have existed since Eden and will remain until God puts all of the religionists under. I get sometimes seemingly perturbed when I see all of these religionists and hear all of these things that they say, but we ought to know that that's in God's hands. Today, Satan has preached a false salvation. And many, or might I say, multitudes have been deceived, and many have been influenced. And there's a lot of different false ideas that have led up to this. Now, there's some of these that I want to name, and I want to go through them. I've mentioned these in my preaching time and time again, because you can't preach through the years and not help but mention these false ways that they have. And the thing that really grieves me, I can understand if it's a group that we do not recognize as being a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we recognize that they have false doctrine. But what grieves me is when I hear men that call themselves Baptists promote these false views and these false ideas. The first one is, and when some of our men prayed in the prayer room, and they prayed up here tonight, they prayed right. There's a way to preach right, there's a way to pray right, there's a way to sing right. And that means scripturally. And I mean that we all need to grow. If we're not saying what's right scripturally, we need, by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit, to grow to where we do. I hear things, and I don't make a big issue out of them. I hear things that are wrong.
And I don't make a big issue out of them because I know by the grace of God, if you stay around long enough, the Lord's going to lead me and the Holy Spirit's going to teach you. I know that. And I know you're going to get rid of that stuff. It's going to be gold. Sometimes it's hard, and I'm saying at the beginning, it's hard to say what you want to really express. You know why? Because we've heard all this other stuff all through the years. I go around in times and I walk these benches, and y'all not here, but I pray for you because I know where you sit. You know, everybody's pretty, that's pretty good. You know, I like people in the same spot. And you know, I go around and I'll pray, and you know, I know the truth, and the Lord's taught me the truth, He's given me the truth. And I almost pray something that doesn't speak to us. You say, shame on you. Well, I hear y'all do it in public. You know, I hear you do it in public. At least I, you know, in private, you know, on that. And we'll lead up to that sometime, but I want to get on with these. I've already done it. And what I heard prayed tonight that was right, somebody said, Lord, open our hearts. Well, that's scriptural. The false idea today is that I hear many say this, and this is what really got me to going. When they would get those people at Mountain View Baptist Camp and get a captive audience, and they'd have more professions of faith than you could shake a stick at. And they would use some of the tactics that I did not believe, and I knew the Bible did not teach. And one of them is, they'd tell them, now if you just open your heart and let Jesus in, God's not pleased. Any preacher says that, God's not pleased. You know why God's not pleased? It's because that's not Scripture. Because that's contrary to Scripture. The Scripture don't teach that. I've not always known what I'm preaching right now. I've got an old brown attaché case over there up in the attic that I ought to get out and burn. I really should. And I told you all this before, and I've been putting it off, but I think I'm about to be ready. You know, you hold on to old things. You know, I'm like Sanford and Son. I collect garbage and trash and all kinds of things. But I'm not talking about, and those sermons are just about that. They're just about what they are. I didn't know that then. And I thought, boy, oh boy, just get them to do this. Just get them to do that. Yeah. You can get them to do a lot of things. It won't amount to a hill of beans. Exactly. What it amounts to. If God's not in it, if the Lord's not in it, if it's the Holy Spirit, it won't last anything. And they say, why don't you open your heart? I know why that you don't. Because you can't. And they say, if you will open your heart and let Jesus in. Have you ever thought about that statement? Not a very powerful Jesus, is it? Not a very powerful Jesus they have that can't open a man's heart and come in. If it's dependent upon the person, now I tell you, if the Holy Spirit's not in that, God's not in it, and God's not pleased. I've been guilty of saying that, you know, when I began preaching my ministry because I didn't know any better. I was guilty of saying that. I used all those alarming tactics, and I know that even what I know now is not of your sake. And brother, that's what I've got to recognize, and that's what you've got to recognize. And the reason that we know the truth is it's not in yourselves. And I can't say, ha, 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 I know something you don't know. I've got the truth, you know, and because you do that, you're gloating glory in yourself. Amen. Like you come up with the idea, or you thought of it. But what you've got to recognize is God brought you to it. And the Holy Spirit taught you. And it ought to cause us to be moved with compassion toward those that are caught up in this. That's what it ought to cause. And we ought not to have that hypercritical spirit on them, but we ought to, by the grace of God, seek the opportunity that we might be teachers used by the Holy Spirit to teach them the truth of God's Word.
I've heard this so much, these things, and y'all probably heard more than I have, but I've heard a lot of them, and said, Jesus is knocking at your heart's door. Well, He never did knock at nobody's heart's door.
Never has. Oh, there's no knocking. I mean, I'm not mocking and making fun. Listen, when Jesus gets ready, He opens your heart. He don't stand there knocking, you know. But now, if you'll just let me, I'll come in. That's not the way it is.
It's not the way the Bible teaches and said, open your heart. What do you mean? Psalms even promote the false open heart idea. We've got one, and it's in one of our songs. I forget which one it is. He stood at my heart door mid sunshine and rain and patiently waited an entrance to gain. It's right in this book right here.
One of the verses.
He didn't do that. Lord knew where we was. He knew what we was. He knew what we needed. He knew how to bring the gospel, preach the gospel to us. He knew exactly when we were letting the Holy Spirit work upon us. And He knew exactly when He was going to open our heart. He knew that. See, I heard that all my life. I sat under preaching and I heard that, and I heard other men preach that. I heard people pray it. I heard people sing it. And you think it's the gospel truth. But what you forget to do, you forget to open your Bible and see what the Word of God has to say about it. And then you better, even when you open the Bible and read the Word of God, you better pray that the Holy Spirit will lead you to the correct interpretation of that Word of Scripture. Because some people take the Bible and preach this. And so we see that this is, and then I thought about how that we used to sing with the little ones and say, "Behold, behold, I stand at the door and knock, knock, knock." And listen to what it says. If any girl hears my voice, if any boy hears my voice and will open the door, I will come in. Now that sounds good to little children, bless their little hearts, but we're teaching the wrong thing. What we must teach them, and people said, "Well, you won't have anybody saved." Oh well, I tell you, it's not up to me. It's up to the Lord. It's up to me to preach the truth. It's up to you to bear and be a standard bearer of the truth. It's up to you to witness with the truth. It's up to you to give glory to God. Saving people ain't your business. God's business. He never told us to save anybody. He told us to witness. He told us to win souls. He told us to preach the gospel. Brother Gormley has been Bryan Station a long time. Brother Gormley, with the exception of the elder of the Lord's Supper, is a sound man. He's a gracious fellow. He loves the Lord. He loves the truth. He loves his people. He says, "What gets me is I have people that I love and I visit them and I witness to them and I talk to them about being saved. I don't pressure them. I don't pressure them at all. I don't try to get them to make some kind of decision and say they'll run off over here to another church in town and they'll tell them to open your heart and they'll come on the side." And you know what they are? They're a bit more saved than a goose. That's exactly what it is. That ain't more saved than a goose. Because you can't open your heart. Now if the Lord opens their heart, the worldly attend to the faith that is preached by the Word of God, that is the Holy Spirit leads and brings, and brings the repentance and faith, then they're saved. You take our kids, go off to some Bible school, and they pull this junk on them, and they make a profession of faith, and they come back and won't be baptized with you.
You know what I feel like? I can't deny. But if they say they're saved, I have to believe they're saved. But what kind of tactics was used on them? Oh, you say, oh, don't talk like that. Don't kid yourself. And that not of your saviors. I believe that we need to acknowledge and we need to recognize this. And they go on and they say, poor, they're in essence saying, poor Jesus, powerless Jesus. They say, let Jesus. They say, help Jesus. All of that is an abomination. That's what it is. Jesus don't need no help, and you don't let Jesus do anything. Jesus does as He pleases, as God has designed in His providential way. He does as He pleases, and He has the power to do all that He's designed and He's going to do. And He does it. He does it. I was so happy. I was so thankful Sunday night. We had Bible school. We didn't give no invitations. I don't think we did any arm twisting. We didn't try to get anybody to make any decisions. We didn't try to get anybody to open their heart. We didn't get anybody to let Jesus do anything. Thank you, bless my heart. The Lord saved me. She came up here, her heart was going 90 miles an hour. I felt it. Just like that. And that's what the Lord does. You know what the Lord has done? Opened her heart. I tell you, I don't, when that happens, I don't leave here with doubts. I don't leave here, even though something's happened, feeling like nothing's happened. But I leave here believing that God, in His wisdom, in His might, in His power, opened the heart of a lost sinner. Enable them to repent of their sins and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Turn to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Looks like I'm going to get to the first point, but anyway, that'll be enough. About all I think we need at one time. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. And here's where they get it. Here's where they take the Word of God and build them a doctrine. Right here. Now what they in verse 20 says of Revelation 3, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." But he ain't talking about heart. He's not talking about somebody's heart. You know what he's talking about? The door of the church at Laodicea. He's talking about the door of a church. That's what he's talking about. And what had happened there is they had in various ways rooted the Lord out. Hadn't given glory to Him. Hadn't given place to it. And He says, you're in this. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Now you'll notice what he's talking about here. The letter is addressed on the angel of the church of Laodicea. Verse 14. Now that's who it's to. And that's who it's talking about. It ain't talking about men and women, boys and girls. Mark, it's talking about the church of Laodicea. And I believe that perhaps we are even in a time likened to that day. When people name the name of the Lord, they sing about Him, they pray about Him, but He's only outside. Outside of the church. And then he goes on and talks about the overcomer. And you'll notice, listen, look at verse 22 to show you. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now there's the context of that.
It ain't talking about being saved. It ain't talking about salvation. It ain't talking about people opening their heart and letting Jesus in. It's not talking about that as far as salvation. That's the Holy Spirit. But this is the verse they take out of context and use and build this doctrine. Right here. Because you got to read verse 13, 14, and verse 22. Now, people think this is inconsistent. They think we have an inconsistency because we believe this. And they'll say, well, I believe whosoever will. I do too. As a matter of fact, I believe it's stronger than you do. Because I believe the truth about it. And I believe this church believes the truth about it. Now, if you'll turn with me to Acts 16, 14. And notice with me there, y'all know what's there, I'm sure. I'm confident you do. I hope you do anyway. Acts 16, verse 14. Here's what it says. Now, here's a true record we have. And a certain woman. And of course it names her. Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. Even which worshiped God, heard us. Now look what happened. Whose heart the Lord opened. When He opened her heart, what'd she do? That she attended the things which were spoken of Paul. Now I believe that the essence is here, it's the Lord that opens hearts. She attended the things that were spoken of Paul. And it's the same carryover. It's the same idea of the same carryover in Romans 10. Now this is doctrine that I believe that our church believes, we're familiar with, but I believe it needs to be taught to our young converts and it needs to be brought to our remembrance. In Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Believe in that heart and with thy heart. But there's a big problem. It's a great big problem. People overlook it. Churches overlook it, and preachers overlook it. There's a big problem about this. And you know what the big problem of all is? An unsaved sinner's deity. And that's what they overlook. An unsaved sinner's dead. As a matter of fact, they're dead in trespasses and sins. And you'll say that Paul said in Ephesians 2, 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's the big problem. And you know, they forget about this verse of Scripture. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2, 14. They forget about this verse of Scripture. I think they ignorantly overlook it, or they don't even know it's there, or don't know what it means. And I'm not saying that to be smart at it. I don't mean that way. I just mean it. You know, there's still verses of Scripture in the Bible that I read all of my life and studied all of my life, and then the Lord opens them up to me one day. The Holy Spirit opens them up to me. Now look at 1 Corinthians 2:14. Now we are by nature the children of wrath. Even as others. Remember that. Now let's look at this verse. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Now look at this. Neither can he know them. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. Now the big problem with telling people to open their heart, the very first thing is the Bible don't tell you to do that. The Lord don't tell you to do that. And the big problem with telling people to do that is they can't. They don't have the ability. And they cannot whatsoever understand what you're talking about. They don't know it. Neither can they. It takes the work of God. And that's when He gives you that know yourself. That's where that comes in. and that not of yourselves.
I tell you, the older I get and the more the Lord blesses me and the more that He enables me to grow and to recognize this great truth. When I look back, and I look back, and when God saved me by His marvelous grace, and I look back and try to remember and recall the things that happened, it just reinforces. It just reinforces how that the Lord placed me where He wanted to place me, put me to preach the gospel at the right time, how that He had me there, the Holy Spirit was present at work, and how that the degree just reinforces this truth that how you're saved. Now what is it? And if it's not of yourself, what is it? What is it? If it's not of yourself, what's the Scripture say? If it's not of yourself, what is it? It is a gift of God. God is so gracious with His gifts. And one of His and the gifts that He gives is repentance and faith. There is a simple grace of God that God gives you.